capacity for relationship. God is going to draw all of the partners in pain that he's destined to cross into your life. He's gathering people together right now. He is gathering rubies from over there and emeralds and diamonds and pearls, and he's assembling all of his precious stones. And if anything's moving in your life and people are being subtracted from your life or added to your life, I just want to encourage you today. God gets more done redemptively in this earth through partners in pain. Pain brings you to a place of closeness, unlike anything else. And here's a story in the book of Ruth. The whole first chapter talks about a man and his wife, Naomi, and his two sons. And they are in Bethlehem, the promised land. And chapter 1 says there is a famine in the promised land. Did you know that there can be a famine even in the place you're destined to occupy? It sounds counterintuitive. How could there be a famine in the very promised land that represents the hand and will of God? Well, sometimes things just happen, and you're supposed to stand your ground and stay in the promised land. If it rains, if it thunders, if there's something catastrophic. Well, in this story, the husband and wife decided, we're going to leave the promised land, and they went to Moab. You know, whenever you want to leave God's plan, you go to Moab. The Moabites were an accursed people. They were traced to an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters, and Moab was just the place where everyone was committing every sin you can imagine. A little like Vegas. You know, Moab was a cauldron. God called it his washing pot. He called it by a name that meant the grungy water left after a slave washes someone's feet. Just, yuck, mulch. It's a horrible place. The place they were never to go in tension and terror was Moab. And the first thing we do when there's a crisis in our lives is we usually leave God's plan and we go into our own and we start taking control. Well, Moab was the washpot. So this man, Elimelech, and his wife and two kids leave the promised land and they go to the Moab washing pot. Have you ever just gone to Moab? Mm-hmm. It's the type of the world. It's the type of getting your needs met that are legitimate and illegitimate ways. Well, what happens is the woman's name is Naomi, and her name meant beautiful and sweet. But Naomi goes into a season where they move to Moab, and first her husband dies, drops dead. But she has her two sons to lean on. But in the culture, she had no support. She's living where they're worshiping devils. They're not welcome anyway, and daddy just drops dead. Then her two sons get married, and the Bible says within 10 years, they were there a long time. You ever just been a long time in a washing pot? Her two sons die. There is all of a sudden a situation of such pain, and Naomi literally changes her name from beautiful to Mara, which means bitter. Did you know the washpot experiences of life can turn your heart bitter? It says she went out full. She comes back empty. Now she has two daughter-in-laws. They're, every one of them joined together as partners in pain. Did you know that empathy is cheap, but sympathy is expensive? Sympathy is cheap. Empathy is expensive. Empathy is what we see here. Three women sharing the same pain. Did you know nobody knows the pain of your heart unless they've been through a similar situation? Amen. Have you ever just met someone and they get you? You understand them. As soon as you meet and you talk, you can share empathy. And that's what we call partners in pain. We're not talking about people that are just in pain for the sake of pain, but they're enduring a painful season and sojourn that will eventually produce fruit. But I want you to see what they had in common. They'd all lost their husbands. Naomi was older. The two girls, Ruth was, there's a whole book and sermon I could do for 12 weeks on Ruth, but I just, and Orpah. So there's Orpah, Ruth, and Naomi, but they're sharing in a common bond of pain. God always produces fruit. If we'll hold on and we let him do his work, he will produce fruit through our pain. The pain isn't the end of all things. The devil says, this is an end of your life. You're going to be in pain forever. But God says, no, this is a means to an end. Where you are right now is not where you're always going to be. But I want to encourage you, there are other people that have been through similar painful situations that God's going to start bringing into your life. You know, my idea of ministry used to be that you had to stand up in a big pulpit and have thousands of people. Do you know what? Your sermon is your life. And all God wants you to do is be you. Just do you. survive the pain that you're in now, but let me tell you some good news. There are other people in pain that will be able to empathize with you. Hold on. God's shifting our lives around. He's taking people out of our lives. He's bringing people into our lives. But I just want you to catch that image, that snapshot of these three women sharing a common pain. When God brings His grace into our lives, He usually uses a broken vessel, because broken vessels are leaky vessels. They just leak all over the place. Blessings. The fragrance of God will be on a life that has endured pain. And when two gather in the name of Jesus, there's power there. But when two partners in pain that have survived a similar situation come together in one place, there's power in that place. Resurrection power. And in the story of Ruth, it's almost terrifying. They lost everything. And so here, Naomi is like an old, she's old now. She calls herself an old woman. Have you ever just felt old? You may be young. Abraham Lincoln said they called him old at 30. They called him Old Abe at 30 years of age. Naomi is, she's lost everything. She says to the two daughters, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. I heard there's a revival, but you stay here. You stay here. And Orpah and Ruth say, no. We want to be with you. We've been through the same pain. We want to go with you. And look at the text that we have that we printed in the bulletin today from the book of Ruth. These three women bound together in a similar pain are told by Naomi, I've got nothing left for you. Just leave. She said, even if I got pregnant again, you're not going to wait around until the boys grow up for you to marry them. I have nothing left. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you, Ruth 1:16 and 18, or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Do you see this passion and commitment? Where I'm not going anywhere without you. You know, there are people in life you meet, partners in pain, and as soon as you meet them, there's just something that happens. Open your life and your heart. God's going to bring a bunch of them into here, into this house. This house is going to be built by living stones that have survived pain redemptively. Look at Ruth's commitment. By the way, you know what Orpah did? The other woman, she left. You know, don't always stop people from leaving. If they can walk away from you, let them go. You hear what I'm saying? God will bring people into your life. He will take people out of your life. And God bless Orpah. I don't want to judge her. All I know is that she was so committed to Moab that she didn't really see with the eyes of faith that she should be moving into the area where God is moving. But you know what? If someone leaves, let them leave. The earliest part of my ministry, I was given what I thought was a gift, which was keeping people here that God was trying to remove. we had 250 people one time, and God kept trying to get certain people out. And I'd use all my talents, gifts, and abilities and go to their house for dinner and chicken wings and talk them out of leaving. And I don't want to go into that story. Let them go. I just have to have him back. If God's taking him, let him go. You'll find another partner in pain. Now Ruth and Naomi, now we've seen a pruning now. Now these are the two ladies that God's going to do his great work with, but they've suffered the same pain, the same loss. And notice they're going back to Bethlehem. You know, sometimes God is proud that you're just thinking about going back into his will, wishing you could hope that you had the strength to go back in his will. Just looking at Bethlehem, thinking of Bethlehem, thinking of saying, Lord, thy will be done. Maybe we'll do it your way this time. No, I'm just kidding. You know, he is willing to take anything that you offer him and applaud. You know, the Bible says of Lot that he looked towards Sodom, then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, then he was sitting in the gate of Sodom running everything. You know, sometimes you pitch your tent in the wrong direction. But I want you to see I want to get to this concept. The main gist of it is, just as Naomi and Ruth had a partnership in pain, Also, the Bible mentions in First Samuel chapter 18, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. There's something about meeting people that your heart is bound to. And we're not necessarily talking about male-female relationships right now. We're talking about the sit where you're set that God is bringing now. It's a new season. The old season is closing off. The new season is going to start with people literally blowing into your life. And they're going to be people that are sent by God. You know when the Lord's in something. Jonathan he was the son of Saul. He heard David's voice and he just went, I love this kid. I love this kid. There's nothing strange going on here. But you know, God can do such intimate things that it looks weird. You know, whenever you mention Naomi and Ruth, it's like, how old was she? No. There's nothing going on here, but there's a spiritual bond. Partners in pain recognize each other. And when you get two or three in a room, that's when the Holy Spirit's power rests on that combined weakness. And I'm looking forward to seeing moves of God that we've never even imagined or dreamed of. But you know what? That's going to flow from love, the bloodstream of heaven. And that comes through pain and surviving pain. So here we have Ruth and Naomi, and they have this connection together. And we have Jonathan and David, and they have this connection together. And God's about to bring people from all over the place that just so happened to meet. And people so important that your life story will not be able to be told without mentioning their name. God is doing something in this house. Naomi feels too old. Let me encourage somebody today that feels too old. You ever felt just, no, I'm too old. I'm this age now. I wish I was 20. I hang around a person that always says, I wish I was 20. I said, well, I would never want to be 20 again. Maybe a 20-year-old body, but I would never go back. Sorry, never go back in time and live that again. But there's such a beautiful thing where Naomi is an old woman. And you hear the way she talks about herself. She goes, look, God's through with me. His hand's against me. There's nothing for me to give. But let me tell some good news. The Bible moves forward in Ruth 4:16 and says, what does pain produce? What are these partners in pain headed for? Older, more mature, they've experienced loss. The Bible tells the greatest redemptive love story in the book of Ruth. Read it when you go home. Ruth, this Moabite woman, is destined to be the ancestor of the Messiah himself. Naomi goes back with Ruth, and true to her promise, these partners in pain begin to produce fruit, and all of a sudden, a surprise enters into the story, a man named Boaz. They've got nothing but God. They've moved from the season of pain, and they go back to Bethlehem, and all of a sudden, Ruth is now responsible for Naomi, her mother-in-law, and she begins to glean in the fields, and she's doing very difficult labor and work. But you know, she's faithful at what she does. But she doesn't know that Boaz, she has caught the attention of the kinsman redeemer. Ruth just walks in. I don't know what she was wearing or what she looked like. We have no idea. She's sort of the Cinderella of the Bible. But Boaz comes out one day and goes, who's that gleaning in my field? I said, well, she's related to you. She's from another country, but she's the, you know. And Boaz goes, you know what? Throw some extra gleanings down. Purposely. You know, you're gleaning in the field of the Lord and you're doing the work of the Lord. His eye is on you. He sees all of his partners in pain. And he is already giving orders for a blessing to be given to you. You see Boaz in the background, the type of Christ saying, drop some big old gleanings over there. Like she just came into a field. You know, she's working her butt off. And God says, Boaz speaks to his servants. You know, right now there's someone speaking your name, saying, bless her, bless him. Your pain will produce. So all of a sudden, Ruth doesn't know it, but she is walking in a field and working in a field that she will soon own because Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, is going to marry her. But here's the punchline of the whole thing. Partners in pain, good, very good. God will bring them to you. It's a season of joinings. He's bringing all of his jewels that have been forged underground in darkness and pressure together. It's going to be beautiful, beautiful adorning work of the Lord's Spirit. Can you imagine all of your friends and your loved ones who have been growing and getting better instead of bitter? He's going to put them together into a bracelet and into a necklace and maybe into a crown. But he's assembling all of these partners in pain. And he's bringing them together. And by the way, they are not going to look like they have it all together. Because partners in pain usually have been through a few things. There's a few bumps along the road. Naomi still thinks she's old, but over time, God extends a hope and a blessing to her. Maybe you're not the age you thought you'd be when God would bless you or bring a relationship into your life. There's a lot Naomi didn't have, but I want you to see what God does in this story. Ruth finally marries Boaz, and the scripture says that they conceived a child named Obed, whose son was Jesse, whose son was David, the first king of Israel. But it says, listen to this, in old age, Ruth 4:16, that when the baby Obed was born, that Naomi produced milk in her own breasts and nursed that little boy. Old breasts. It's impossible. It's like giving the baby to grandma to nurse. But God has a way of bringing fruitfulness out of our crushing, and even in old age, he will anoint our head with fresh oil. Hold on, because Naomi's breasts were filled with milk. It's just impossible. And so Ruth and Boaz, the type of Christ and the church, produce this little boy, and it's literally considered Naomi's boy. She goes, "Y'all go out, sorry, I got the baby." And here she's walking around nursing a baby at an old age. You're not too late. You're not too old. God will still bring fruit out of pain. But he's going to start bringing partners together. You know, it's so wonderful to have fellowship in the Lord, isn't it? You have lunch with somebody and 2 hours go by and it's like 5 minutes. Some people, 5 minutes feels like 7,500 years. I didn't look at anyone. I'm thinking about someone. You know what I'm saying? Partners in pain recognize one another. They see reality. They're past playing church. They're real people. And they're actually sometimes a little too real for religious types because they tell the truth and tell it like it is and won't put any varnish on it. Those are the people I love. And you know what? Religious types don't like people like you and me. Mm-mm. He that is forgiven much loves much. He that is forgiven little loves little and is in ministry, usually in charge of everything. You know how uncomfortable it is to try to worship or spend time with people who love little and have been forgiven little? They're intolerable. You never share your heart with them. You may smile and dance or do worship or something, but you cannot trust someone that has been forgiven little. In this story, I'm thrilled about the fact that God brought people together that shared a common pain. And this is why we need to give a message of hope when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What God's saying is, hey, it's all right. I've orchestrated all of this. This didn't just happen to you. I'm weaving your life together into a tapestry. You left the promised land. I already knew you were going to do that. I knew I was going to bring you back. Oh, you lost in sin. When you go into Moab, you lose a lot. Naomi lost every man in her life when she left the promised land and went over to Moab. But she wound up with breasts filled with milk as an old woman giving life to the grandfather of David. Can you imagine that? And Ruth is put in the very beginning of the genealogies of the Gospels. She shows up, a Moabite woman. Loved one, God is taking you places. He's moving your life like pieces on a chess table. He's in charge. Don't walk away. If someone can walk away, let him go. Don't try to hold on to what God is removing. But I want to encourage you, I'm seeing joy coming in the future. I'm seeing the joy of new relationships and all partners of pain who will taste difficulty, but they will also taste the power of God. Did you know the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I saw visions, I saw things, I was caught up to heaven and I saw things that were not lawful for me to talk about. And Paul said, because God has given me great insight, he also gave to me a thorn in the flesh, to which three times I prayed and said, Lord, please remove this from me. We don't know what the thorn was. Could have been bad hair. It could have been bad eyes. It could have been pain physically. We don't know. All that we do know, though, is that Paul three times went to the Lord and said, Lord, remove this. Take this away from me. And Christ said, it's all right. I've got enough grace, and I'm going to pour it out to you in that area every day. You're going to have to lean on me every day. But I will bring you to other partners in pain. And I will use that thorn and use that, whatever that difficulty is, whatever that lust is, whatever that addiction is, whatever the thing is that just doesn't seem to go, I speak grace in Jesus' name over you in the area of your pain. I speak beauty and grace upon your situation right now. Lord, thank you that you're taking some things away, but we know that we only want to hold what you've put into our hands. Jesus, we want whatever comes with you and nothing else in our lives. Could we pass out the table of the Lord right now? Dennis, just pass the elements out. I want to take a moment this morning, a special moment. And we are going to take communion. If you're not comfortable with that, that's all right. We're just going to pass the elements around. But there is a beauty and a simplicity in the table of the Lord. Jesus shed his blood for us. And he said, this is the blood of the everlasting covenant, the forgiveness of your sins. He pointed to the bread at the Passover table and he broke the bread. You see the breaking that's involved? You see, this whole experience of the cup of the Lord is the story of grace. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, loved you so much that he became incarnate. That means he became present in our world, in time, in space. It's beyond belief. How could the God-man do that? You know, everything, every question about Jesus, you have to ask two questions. Did he get hungry? As man, yes. As God, no. Did he know everything? As God, yes. As man, no. You see, there are two questions about the incarnate Christ. But I want you to see, God didn't just sit afar off, but he entered into our pain and became enfleshed. The word incarnation means enfleshed. And he went not only into the incarnation to be a human being, but he went further even that to the death of the cross, the shedding of his blood, the breaking of his very flesh. And he said, I've done it for you. I came down to where you were. I'm coming into where you are, and I'm not ashamed. I see all the sin. I see all the failures, but I'm coming into you and into your situation. I can love a God like that. Isn't it wonderful? God became flesh and struck a tent, the scripture says. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. So if you think God's way out there somewhere and doesn't know your need, your God picture is false at that point. He's right in you. He's closer to you than your own thoughts. And as we go to the table of the Lord, and we're just going to take the elements, partake together in a second, I want you to just think as you're taking this great gift. As we partake together, I want to make a point of contact where you are going to let go of anything you need to let go of. And you're going to welcome in anything God wants to bring. I want you to imagine your heart open and your hands open, emptied of all things. And right now, as we partake, he's going to come in and start doing a new work. He's going to start bringing new people into our lives. He's going to start bringing hope back, laughter back. The scripture says he took the cup and blessed it. He said, this is my blood. Can we partake right now in the name of Jesus? We receive your forgiveness right now, Lord, from sins known and unknown. You said in your word, if we confess our sins, you will cleanse us faithfully of all unrighteousness. We thank you and rejoice in the sacrificial blood, the bridge between earth and heaven, right here, right now. And he took the bread, and with his own hands, he broke it in half. Let's take the bread right now. Break that bread right now. He says, this is my body that was broken for you. And just partake right now. Lord, we receive right now into our lives, our souls, our minds, our emotions, healing. Not only the blood of cleansing, but we receive the touch for the mental healing that's needed, the emotional healing that's needed, the physical healing that's needed and required. Come, O great God, incarnate yourself into our pain. Bring us together with other partners in pain. Bring all of your jewels together in one place, O mighty God. Like Forrest Gump, just we want to be a feather in the wind. We want the wind to do the work. We pray peace on this people right now in Jesus' name. Dennis, go ahead and collect the cups. Right now, I just pray a Forrest Gump spirit on you. Like a feather in the wind, where the wind does the work and the lifting. Did you know eagles have that cylindrical bone system? Eagles don't flap. They're not flapping birds. They soar. And the wind does all the work. Even in the storm, they embrace it and they fly right into it because they can fly high above. Just holding an effortless position and letting all the wind do the work. Isn't that better than being an earthbound flapping bird, flapping everywhere, a chicken flapping all over the place, getting nowhere? Father, we pray for an eagle spirit of anointing in this people that will move into the feather position of rest and the eagle position of soaring. And we're going to look beside our everywhere and we're going to see partners in pain soaring with us. We thank you, Lord, that this people, they're not earthbound birds. They're not turkeys and chickens fearing Thanksgiving. They're eagles born to soar. So we thank you, Lord, that all of these people that you are bringing into our lives are going to be eagles. Eagles that have been destined for soaring. Bring them. Bring them from the east, from the west, the north, the south. Bring partners in pain. Bring them here, Lord. Let us begin to link up that spirit of Ruth and Naomi. We're just going to meet the right folks. Jonathan and David, we're just going to stick to them. It's just going to be an invincible work of your spirit that you will join together your gems of destiny. We open our hearts and say, come, Holy Spirit. And the wind that blows now, Lord God, let it blow away every leaf that needs to go. Let that Orpah spirit, if they can walk away, let them go. But thank you, Lord, where you go, we go. Where you lodge, we lodge. You are our God. So right now we do pray that you prune out every person, place, or thing and leave only the kernels of wheat that you gather into your barn. Just 1 minute more, Lord, I pray a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to blow through this room right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you partners in pain, God bless you. The Lord is with you. Every empty vessel, fill it up right now, God. Every broken heart right now, rush in with your peace. Thank you, Jesus. All those, Lord, who have been so faithful behind the scenes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God knows he will never forget you. He sees every act of sacrifice, every kindness you've ever expressed. He has not forgotten you. Thank you, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, for you to do a work in our old age that will astonish the neighborhood. Thank you for astonishing the neighborhood when Naomi has milk in her old withered breasts. My Lord, you're not too old. You're right on time. Thank you for bringing fruit out of the pain. And just one more thing. Those of you the devil's lying to, saying, no, this pain is it. You're going to be, this is your life. This is where you're going to be. I rebuke that lie and that devil in Jesus' name. This is a means to an end. This is not the end in and of itself. God says it's a means to the end. The devil says, no, it's the end. This is it. It's never going to get any better. Just going to get worse. That's a devil in Jesus' name. You are on your way to greatness. The rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. But trust him in the pain right now. We're moving back out of Moab and we're moving into the promised land. A Bethlehem that meant the house of bread. When there seemed to be a famine and no bread, God's going to bring the bread back. They were from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. And Naomi's name that meant beautiful. Named herself Mara, bitter, but God's renaming you your original name. You're beautiful. You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. You're beautiful to me. This is what he's singing over you. So beautiful to me. You're beautiful. Sing it back to him. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. Lord, thank you that you look and behold through your shed blood. We are beautiful. We are the object of your love. We are your beloved. And we choose to be intimate with you. We choose to surrender everything we have to you and reveal all of who we are to you. Our hearts, our minds, all of our trust, we place in your precious hands. And thank you, Lord, that you are singing over our lives. That Christmas day, the angels sang over the earth that was so broken. Thank you that you're singing over your daughter today. You're singing over your son. You're rejoicing over us in gladness. David said, the Lord delivered me because he delighteth in me. Isn't that beautiful? David said, I'm so adorable. I'm so sweet. He's so crazy about me. He just looked down and said, I've got to deliver him. I delight in him. God delights in you when you choose him. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. That's what he says, and that's what we say. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. Thank you for your work, precious Holy Spirit. Confirm this word with signs following. We submit it to you and ask your oil to be poured all over this bread that we've broken together today. Thank you that you take it and you break it and you bless it and you multiply. That's what you're doing right now. You're taking us, you're breaking us, you're blessing us, and you're multiplying us. And we say, so be it, in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Praise his name.